Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. And you know, at the top of the show, we played a little love music from the Love Boat, a little theme, because it is Valentine's Day.
Yes, of course.
And we chatted up my favorite character, Fred Grandy, who is Gopher.
I remember that he had become a congressman. Mm-hmm. And I said, from your state, Idaho. But then we realized it was Iowa. But then we also realized, no longer a congressman. We found Fred Grandy. Where is he?
He is on the radio. He did not run for re-election, and instead he hosts a morning radio show, Andy and Grandy. And where is it?
I think it's in Washington. WMAL? Is that Washington, you guys? Washington people, hello?
I read somewhere he's a lecturer or professor at University of Maryland as well.
So. Wow. So it must be in D.C.
Okay. So, well, there you go. Update on Gopher.
Rachel, you know where he is. Go get him, girl.
I'm tracking you down, Fred. Be my Valentine, Gopher.
What time in the show is it?
Well, we're not alone anymore.
No.
There are people here. Which leads me to believe, because I'm a smart woman, that it is time for the most. Most music, who's on deck, Yahoo, who's going to talk about
Let's
that?
Let's do Trisha first.
Trisha, you're dancing.
Our editor, Trisha McKinney.
I shouldn't be dancing because this story is actually not happy. This is one of the most viewed on Yahoo News. It's about Reverend Billy Graham. He's in the hospital. He had elective surgery yesterday that went well, apparently. And he is in fair condition at a hospital after having a valve replaced in a shunt that takes fluid out of his brain.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently he has a lot of health issues, and one of them has to do with excess fluid buildup in his brain. And so there's this tube that takes the fluid from his brain and actually puts it in his abdominal cavity, which is...
Okay, we can stop there. Wish the Reverend well.
Yes. Anyway, he's 89, and he's expected to be in the hospital for a little while longer, but he's doing well.
Good to hear. Ian! Producer Ian Chile.
Hey, this is a most from the Dallas Morning News, most emailed. Kind of an amazing story. This team of acrobats from Shanghai was beginning their tour in the United States. Apparently somebody on this end, an American businessman, didn't secure the funds. And so right at the beginning of their tour, they're kind of out of luck. Their Dallas performance was canceled. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. They don't have anywhere to stay. So a homeless shelter there in Dallas has taken them in. They're living there now. Their future's kind of in doubt. They've just been hanging out, getting to know. They took these guys to McDonald's. At one point, all the male acrobats disappeared. And the guy who runs the shelter was really nervous, but it turns out the male acrobats figured out where the shelter was, where the female acrobats were staying, and they just
and
gone
they
over there.
Tumbled over?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing a lot of backflips. They've been practicing, but it's kind of a tragic story, and they came over with one-way airplane tickets. So,
oh, no.
So who knows what's going
to
happen.
Oh, we have to keep our eye on that one.
Yeah.
Hey, Rachel, what do you have?
I have a story about love and loss.
Where is it a most from?
It is a most from the New York Times. It's called I Love You, But You Love Meat. And this is a story about the difficulties of food and relationships. And everyone these days has such specific eating habits. And as the article characterizes it, quote, the culinary camps have become so balkanized that some factions consider inter-dietary dating taboo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's difficult. If you're a vegetarian, you date a meat eater. How's that go down? If you're a meat eater, you date a vegetarian. Do you have to have separate dishes? What do you do when you go to dinner parties? What do you cook at home? And this hit home for me because I did have a relationship with someone who was a very strict vegetarian. And at the end of the day, I mean, really, this is one of the issues that broke us apart. Because we're like, if you raise children, and he did it for not just dietary reasons. There were kind of some religious elements to this. So we ended up having to split it off because, you know, what are you going to tell the kids? Mommy's eating a hamburger, killing a cow.
Yeah. You know, my dad just became a vegetarian like a year ago, and my mom still eats meat. And she has agreed to cook less meat, and he's agreed to look the other way when she puts chicken broth in the risotto.
That's a recipe for a good long marriage.
That's right, that's fair.
How long have they been married?
30,
See?
50,
compromise.
I don't know.
Yeah. See?
That's
compromise. Learn what to fight about.
Continuing the food theme, Naked Sushi is coming to Minneapolis. This
Finally.
Is the number three most...
the only thing they were missing.
The number
the
three
perfect town.
Most emailed at the Minneapolis Star Tribune. It's a big fad, these Naked Sushi nights, where people... they lie on tables with strategically placed flowers, and then the pieces of sushi are placed strategically.
So these are professionals.
These are professional. Okay. You know, they had a casting call, they said. Two of the criteria, to be flawless and hairless. I'm not sure I know anybody who wakes up in the morning and goes, gosh darn, I'm flawless.
They had that. Yeah. You remember that reality show with MC Hammer?
Yep.
And they had a model with sushi all over her at the house of former celebrities, and MC Hammer refused to eat the sushi off the woman because he thought it was degrading to her.
It's interesting. It's a trend that's been showing up in cities all over.
I don't see any problem with that whatsoever.
It's empowering, really.
It's been showing up in Berlin, London, Paris, New York.
And Tokyo. They do it in Japan.
And now Minneapolis. I'm not giving the name of the restaurant because I don't want to necessarily give them a commercial, but tickets are $75. It includes sushi, sake, champagne, and naked people. Just for the record. Ian,
speaking
you have
of
one
Japan,
more.
Speaking of segues.
This is a difficult one. Good luck.
Okay, so you wouldn't think that Barack Obama would have a big following in Japan, maybe, because they don't vote in our elections. But there's a town called Obama City in the Fukui Prefecture, and they're crazy for Obama, of course. There's a group there started called the Group That Supports Barack Obama Voluntarily. I like the name.
Is it the group that supports
mandated.
Barack Obama Voluntarily? Happy fun vote time?
Yes, it is. You know, and apparently elderly farmers, everybody in town is calling up wanting to join this group. One sweet maker is making these special, you know, Daifuku red bean cakes that spell out Obama in red bean paste. I really kind of want to go to Obama City and just watch the frenzy.
Look at that. Oh, wait. The I Love Obama illustration is... Ooh, that's a little disturbing, actually. I don't know if we should put that up. Take a look. Matt's coming the most.
Oh, I'm really glad we're a radio show.
Exactly, at this moment. Type in Obama Japan into Google and... not so good. All right, Matt Martinez.
All right, I have just got, and this is going to help Dan out so much.
All right, I'm ready.
The most emailed story at the Seattle Post-Intelligencer right now. New Star Wars series. Five burning questions answered. George Lucas is going back to the Star Wars well. He's going to be doing an animated series. It's called Star Wars: The Clone Wars. And it's this article on the Seattle Post-Intelligencer all about what exactly are the Clone Wars. Wait a minute, isn't there already a Cartoon Network series about the Clone Wars? I mean, it's all geeked out right now they're geeking out over this new series that's coming out in Seattle. Yes, it says it sent the Forceverse into tailspin when he announced that he was going to be doing this new series. So it's like whatever George Lucas does adds to the canon of Star Wars.
Yes.
So it's like a new book of the Bible, you know, so people are like going crazy over this.
And this helps out Dan Pashman with his most.
That's right, guys.
Because Dan went on a little bit of an expedition, a little bit of a fact-finding mission, and created a very special story for all of us BPP listeners, and hopefully for all of the NPR universe. Dan, we explain?
That's right, Allie. I wanted to create a piece for our show that would get us up on the NPR Most Emailed list. And so what I did is I studied the NPR Most Emailed list to find out what topics, what subjects, what themes are most popular on the list. And here's what I found. Food stories and recipes are huge. Everyone loves those. Neti pots, which are these ancient homeopathic devices used for nasal irrigation. You pour saline solution into your nose. That story was like number one most emailed at NPR.org for most of 2007. Star Wars, as Matt just said, is huge on the .org. Student life is big. Interesting scientific studies and discoveries. Quinoa, the grain known as quinoa. Then, of course, we all know and love NPR's esteemed science correspondent Robert Krulwich. Then there are the classical arts, theater, opera, classical music. Those are popular on the most email list. Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul, whenever we do a story about him, our interwebs explode. And then, of course, there's the whole This I Believe series, always one of the most emailed. And these are sort of personal stories, often of tragedy slash loss and the overcoming of said loss. So with these various characteristics in mind, I put together the following piece. I I was making quinoa cakes shaped like Yoda the day my dog, Pavarotti Skywalker, died. He was chasing the tennis ball, playing in the yard, when he was crushed to death by NPR's esteemed science correspondent, Robert Krulwich.
Come on, boy. Come on, boy.
Oh! I haven't made Yoda-shaped quinoa cakes since. But I believe in moving on, and I know the only way to move beyond my beloved Pavarotti Skywalker's death is to enjoy the food we enjoyed together so many times. So I'm in my apartment in Brooklyn, where I bring 1.5 cups of water to a boil in a medium saucepan, wash and drain a cup of quinoa, and simmer the quinoa in the covered saucepan. While the quinoa cooks, I like to prepare my palate for the feast by using a neti pot to irrigate my nasal passages. Saline solution. As we all know, a good nasal irrigation usually takes about 20 minutes, which is also how long it takes the quinoa to absorb all the water. Stir one lightly beaten egg into the quinoa, separate the mixture into clumps, and arrange them on a baking sheet, each in the shape of Yoda. You all remember what Yoda looks like, right? After allowing the cakes to chill in the fridge, put them in a hot oiled skillet. That sizzle was always Pavarotti Skywalker's favorite part. While the quinoa cakes fry, I read up on a fascinating study from the scientific journal Child Development. This one says that if you teach your kids that their intelligence is capable of increasing, they do better in school. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. 8 to 10 minutes later, you've read the piece and the quinoa cakes are golden brown, which means they're done. Seeing them in my kitchen brings back a flood of memories. Pavarotti Skywalker and I sure had some good times together. I want the healing to begin, and I know it must, but something is holding me back. Hey, NPR's esteemed science correspondent, Robert Krulwich.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm all right. I know we haven't spoken in a while.
It's been a bit of a time, yeah.
Would you like a quinoa cake shaped like Yoda?
A quinoa cake? This thing here? It's shaped like... Let me... Actually, these are pretty good.
They sure are, Robert Krulwich. They sure are.
Oh, and Dan, I meant to tell you before, I'm really sorry that I killed your dog.
That's okay, Robert Krulwich. That's okay. Breaking bread with someone has never made me feel so whole. And now I'm pleased to report that I've welcomed a new puppy into my life. I named him Ron Paul. Here, boy. Dan Pashman, NPR News, New York.
And we are proud to report, since that story aired just a mere 23 hours ago, Dan.
That's right.
How are we doing on NPR?
We are up to number 2 with a bullet. Number 2 on the NPR Most Emailed list. We got a bit of bad luck when the number 1 story got picked up and put on the Yahoo homepage. So if anyone out there works at Yahoo and you can pull some strings for us, you know, hook it up. But we'll put it up again today. Go to npr.org/Bryant Park. You can email the story all around.
And funny part about it is some of those things you mentioned in your story, those stories have now come back to the most emailed list.
The people at .org thought they were done with quinoa forever, and it's back, baby.
It's like number 10. Those neti pots.
That's
number
right.
8. Dan, good work.
Thank
Fingers
you,
crossed
you.
For you. He's
all
looking
right, thanks,
for number
guys.
1.
Thanks, Dan.